Hour number two of that 590 show coming at you live right now on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com. Matt Berger, Matt Rocchio alongside Pablo Giamatti, a.k.a. John Rudolph behind the dials. Hope everybody is having a fantastic Thursday evening. Joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line is a writer for the NFL Network. You can follow him on Twitter at Jeffrey Chedia. Jeff Chedia, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. How was your summer? How was your summer away from football?
I don't know if I ever get away from football. It seems to always sort of be somewhere nearby, but I tried to make the most of it. It was a pretty good time, and now we're back in full swing.
Does it feel like you're going back to school because you have, like, the summer off now, like, you're getting back the swing of things, and it's right around the time that everybody's going back to school? Do you feel like you're a kid back in college again?
I feel more like I was in summer school. The kids never actually leave school. They're just kind of always hanging around in the classrooms or in the hallways.
Sure.
They're not smart enough to get away. That's how I feel.
Let's start with Indianapolis and everything going on with Andrew Luck. Word is now that he may not be ready for the first couple weeks of the regular season because of that surgery he had on his throwing shoulder. How mismanaged did the Colts treat this thing, where they maybe could have gone after maybe a more suitable backup than what they currently have?
Yeah, it is sort of strange, and I know Chris Ballard because I live in Kansas City, and the Chiefs, we went there, and there was a lot of time to get that figured out. I'm just not sure if he felt, look, I don't know if he got bad information from the doctors or if he felt like this was going to get resolved quicker or if Andrew Luck had some healing issues, but it certainly is strange that given all the issues they've had there at quarterback over the last two or three years, given his health, that they didn't have some kind of backup plan in place.
Another big story is what happened with Odell Beckham Jr. and the high ankle sprain, and now the preseason games are again under scrutiny. And people are talking about, you know what, maybe you ought to take these preseason games instead of four, cut them down to two. But if they do that, maybe they'll add another regular season game. Can you see something like that ever happening?
You know, it depends. There's been so much rhetoric going back and forth between the NFLPA and the NFL already in terms of what the next CBA will be like. I'm sure that will be on the table. And I'm sure owners and coaches and GMs are looking at this and saying, you know, we want to make money, but we also can't afford to have our stars hurt. And I think the NFL's moved this bar so far down the road in terms of, you know, every game matters, or every game is worth something to them. As far as the TV coverage, as far as fans in the stands, that now you see guys like Odell Beckham getting hurt, or Brandon Marshall getting hurt, or teams holding back on starters, it's becoming a lot more common in the preseason. I think you have to wonder what fans are going to start saying about this, because they want to see stars.
Sure.
And they want to see them playing.
Yeah, I mean, and how much money can they really be making on these preseason games?
Yeah.
Because when they show the crowd, there's hardly anybody there. I can't imagine the TV ratings. I'm sure they're not terrible, but they can't be as high as they are regular season games. And as you just pointed out, let's say you lose someone like Odell Beckham Jr. and you lose him for half the season or the entire season. What are the ratings and what's the attendance going to look like then if he's not playing?
Yeah, no, exactly. And I look at teams like Arizona and Dallas this year, you know, the playing five preseason games. You know, you look at what happened. Every time that team, those two teams are in the Hall of Fame game, I always feel badly for them, because they got to find a way to manage a roster through five preseason games, weeks upon weeks of training camp. And most veterans will tell you that they don't need to have more than two or three weeks to get ready for the season. And so, again, hopefully when the next collective bargaining agreement is being talked about and discussed, that comes up. Like, is this really worth it in the end? I know people are making money, but money's not everything.
And I'll be honest with you, I'm really surprised they haven't done away with that Hall of Fame game, because I understand that they want to make a whole big weekend out of it and cap it off with the first preseason game of the year. But, sometimes the starters don't even make the trip. They're not even there. And
yeah,
Everybody gets excited about it because it's the first football game of the year, technically. And everybody's like, oh, great, football's back on. And then you watch like 2 minutes of it, and then it's back to Big Bang Theory reruns on TBS.
That's right. You're watching an NAIA game. You know, that level of football.
Yeah.
Like, this is not even like they're not doing anything. The talent's not that good. The strategy is not that complex. And it's just, I work for the NFL, so I'm probably talking out of school right now. But the NFL is really good at the pomp and the circumstance and the build up and the hype. And it's just, you get John Gruden out there and you get know, people talking about this and that and great highlights, but, you know, it's a lot like the draft in a lot of ways. Like, you know, there's so much buildup, but in the end what you get is just guys walking across the stage.
Yeah.
And that's the same way with the preseason games. There's so much buildup, but in the end you're just seeing guys who are going to get cut.
I would say the NFL does this better than any other league, and that's hope trafficking.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. Now, people in New York, people who are fans of the Jets, people in Jacksonville who are fans of the Jaguars, people in Cleveland who are fans of the Browns, right now they're looking at the schedule and going, you know what? We can win this game, and we can win this game, and we can win this game. So, you know, if we start out 3-1 or, you know, 3-2, we may be onto something. We might make the playoffs. It's amazing how that happens every year.
Yep, and it really is. You know, that's probably a really good way to look at it. The preseason now is really an extension of the combine, free agency, the draft. It's all about what could happen and what might happen. And then the reality is, yeah, guys who aren't that good, like Christian Hackenberg, can look really good.
Yeah.
At this time of year. A couple weeks from now, it's not going to be as pretty.
Another big NFL story, especially around here, considering that he's from St. Louis, and that's the Ezekiel Elliott 6-game suspension for a violation of the NFL code of conduct. Do you think that he could maybe possibly knock that down to appeal it down to 4 games? Or do you think that because there's been so many Cowboy players suspended, I think there's been 16 since 2014, that this has been kind of like a repeater offense, and that's the reason why he got hit with the 6 games?
Well, I'll be honest. I think the reason he got hit with the 6 games is that video of him at that St. Patrick's Day parade down in Dallas where he's playing with some woman's breast.
Yeah.
Not a good look either.
I
mean, that's probably the worst case scenario because, you know, the NFL, Roger Goodell knows that no matter what kind of evidence he may have or what kind of evidence the NFL may dispute them having, he did do that. And that's a bad look, and it shows disrespect toward women, and it shows recklessness. And it's not, I'm not comparing him to Ray Rice in this way, but I think whenever you have video footage, people are going to instantly form an opinion about him. And, you know, I think most people who follow this story have a hard time believing that Ezekiel Elliott didn't do anything wrong. I think they feel like something bad happened. The NFL is not going to put themselves in a position where they're going to look bad again when it comes to punishing players for these kind of transgressions.
Jeff Chedia from the NFL Network joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at Jeffrey Chedia. Another big topic, this is our first segment of the show tonight, is about Colin Kaepernick. They had a demonstration in support of him yesterday in front of the NFL Network offices, or the NFL offices rather, in New York. Do you think that something like that could, force the commissioner to pressure a team to sign Colin Kaepernick, or is this more of a, hey, you know what, they're private businesses, they can hire whoever they want to hire?
I don't think it's going to make a difference. You know, I think that the owners are going to listen most adamantly to their biggest, you know, their biggest audience. People are paying to come to the games, people who support the team, the people who can get an owner on the phone, the people who are going to be hanging out at their country clubs or their yacht clubs or their parties, whatever they do when they are in the football, around football. And I think, you know, the hardest thing here, and I've always felt there's 2 things going on here with Colin Kaepernick that I think people need to understand, is that one, not every team is against him being in the NFL. I think that there are probably 10 or 11 teams that if they had a need for a quarterback would feel comfortable bringing him in because they have solid head coach, solid GM, and an atmosphere. I think Marvin Lewis would have made that move if he was in that position.
Yeah.
You know, he's going for a new contract. I think Bill Belichick would have made that move if he didn't have 3 quarterbacks on the roster he likes already. I think Andy Reid in Kansas City would have done that. He stuck his neck out for Michael Vick when Michael Vick was coming off that dogfighting conviction. But it's just hard to, in some ways, circumstances aren't working in his favor in that way. But just as importantly, he needs to have somebody who supports him to give him a good recommendation. And right now, the last 3 coaches he had in the NFL, the only 3 coaches he's had are all out of the NFL. Chip Kelly, Jim Tom Sula, and Jim Harbaugh. The GM who drafted him, Trent Baalke, is out of the NFL.
Yeah.
Now, Greg Roman was his offensive coordinator, but he's not going to have enough clout to make a move like that.
People are going to forget who he is, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and so I think that's, you know, we all know when you need somebody to, like, show you a life preserver, I don't think Colin Kaepernick has that person in the NFL right now.
Do you think that it would benefit Colin Kaepernick if he were to come out and just do an interview with somebody or come out and say, I want to play football in the NFL?
Yes, I think it would totally help him. And not just play football in the NFL, but just to explain everything he's feeling about life and the world and where his head is at. I think he's done himself a huge disservice by staying so quiet about this from day one, because go all the way back to a year ago, I think he's done a horrible job of articulating exactly what he's feeling.
Yeah.
His message has been muddled from the start, and he's let everybody else decide what he's thinking, what he wants, what he's trying to say. And if you look at the Michael Bennett or the Malcolm Jenkinses or the Brandon Marshall in Denver, like those guys, when they decided to protest, they had a much better job of explaining what they were trying to do. Now, granted, they had more time to think about it, but it helped their cause. It's hurting Collins.
And you're right, Colin Kaepernick, because of his silence, he's letting all of his actions, he's not dictating what's happening to it. He's letting others do the dictating and others creating the narrative.
Yeah. And I think if you ask 10 different people about what he stands for, what he's about, or what he's doing, or what he wants, you get 10 different answers. And I don't know if the people around him are doing a poor job of advising him. I don't know if he's being stubborn about it and just saying, I won't let my actions speak for myself. But he's got to understand that he has never, ever put a clear message out there about what he stands for. And right now, there's too many people who think he just stands for anti-military, anti-anthem, anti-police. And we all know in the media, you're always going to gravitate more towards the negative stuff than the positive. And so everything he's done that's been good, it gets kind of like overshadowed by those sentiments.
Yeah, you're a journalism guy. If it bleeds, it leads, right?
That's right.
Yeah, Jeff Chedia from the NFL Network joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at Jeffrey Chedia. Jeff, we've seen white athletes show support to their teammates. You had Chris Long in Philadelphia with Malcolm Jenkins. You had Justin Britt in Seattle with Michael Bennett. The more and more you see of this, is it going to be less and less of a story if it's becoming more commonplace?
I think it's already a less of a story. I think people understand the world we live in right now. You look at, you know, with our president, the things that are happening, that happened in Charlottesville. There are a lot of things that are going on that are not really cool, that are very divisive, and people are aware of that. And look, I applaud the players for standing up, speaking out, but I also believe that at some point, you know, symbolic gestures don't matter all that much. At some point, you have to, like, be about action, about doing things, and a lot of players are doing that, but I've always felt, even going back to when Colin knelt for the first time, it was just like, it's not the 1960s anymore.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you don't have to educate people on what's happening. We all know what's going on. The question is, how do we fix it? And I don't think you just fix it by kneeling for the national anthem or praying during the national anthem. I think you fix it by having hard conversations, making tough choices, and really making bigger sacrifices, whether it's financial or it's the time you put in or whatever.
Well said, sir. Give me one rookie that you're the most excited to see this coming season.
Oh, I would probably say Deshaun Watson. I think that if he ends up playing the Houston Texans, I know he's not going to start the year, but if he gets a chance to play, I think he could be a lot like what Dak Prescott was in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
I think with the team he has around him and the way he's carried himself and the way he's won in college, that team has been looking for somebody to lead them for a long time, and I don't believe it's Tom Savage.
And that's the missing piece of that Texans team, too, because they have great wide receivers. They have a good running back. They have a great defense. All they need is a quarterback, just competent quarterback play. If they had competent quarterback play in that playoff game against New England, I don't think New England gets that fifth Super Bowl. Call me crazy.
No, I agree. They are definitely one of the more underrated teams. It'd be a much better team if they had good quarterback play the last 2-3 years.
I think Deshaun Kaiser, I think he's kind of in that Dak Prescott kind of mold too in Cleveland. I think that if they don't rush him, if they, you know, treat it properly and don't just kind of push him out there because they feel pressure to push him out there, they may have finally found their quarterback.
Yeah. And I like Hugh Jackson. I hope they found him. I think Hugh Jackson is a really good coach and a really good quarterback's coach. And if this kid continues to do what he's done, show what he's shown so far, and I know it's early, they could be on the right track.
Jeff Chedilla, we appreciate your time, sir, and we look forward to having you on throughout the NFL season. Thanks again.
No problem. Thank you.
That is Jeff Chedilla from the NFL Network. You can follow him on Twitter at Jeffrey Chedilla. Let's take a commercial break. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com.